Last week, we began a sermon series for Black History Month entitled Black Presence in the Bible. There are many people of African heritage mentioned in the Old and the New Testaments that have often gone unnoticed because of racial bias or misunderstanding when interpreting. Dr. Kane Hope Felder wrote in Blacks in Biblical Antiquity, an article published by the American Bible Society, that for thousands of years, Africans have migrated out of biblical Ethiopia and Egypt and have passed through Palestine en route to the Middle East. Thus, the term Afro-Asiatic emerged, and it is a fitting description of persons from Abraham to Jesus and his disciples. For the most part, by modern standards of ethnicity, first century Jews could be considered Afro-Asiatics. Amen. And were persons of color. In the genealogy of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, there are four Afro-Asiatic or North African women included: Rahab, Tamar, Ruth, and Bathsheba. Simon of Cyrene was made to carry Jesus' cross. And Apollos was a Jew who was born in Alexandria, a city in Lower Egypt, who became a Christian. He was instructed by Priscilla and Aquila and was said to be well versed in the scriptures and was an eloquent preacher. He led many to Christ. Today, we look at the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, whom early church father Irenaeus states returned to Ethiopia as a missionary to his people, which the Church of Ethiopia traces its origin back to. The divine appointment between the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip occurred after persecution drove Christians out of Jerusalem after the stoning of Stephen. Stephen and Philip were two of the seven spirit-filled men chosen to carry out the food distribution ministry to the Greek-speaking widows in the congregation who were being discriminated against. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and verses 4 and 5 says, "A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Now those who were scattered went from place to place proclaiming the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. And while Philip was in Samaria, many people came to Christ, were healed of illnesses, and were delivered from demons. And from there, the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and instructed him to go to the desert, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And Philip didn't ask any questions. He just got up and went. He was ready, willing, and waiting to answer God's call without hesitation. And as he went, he encountered the reason for leaving his fruitful ministry in Samaria. The treasurer of the kingdom of Ethiopia was on his way home from worshiping in Jerusalem. He was a eunuch who served the Candace, queen of Ethiopia. Candace, or Kandake in Greek, was a term used for the monarch of Ethiopia, similar to the Pharaoh in Egypt or the Caesar in Rome. As Philip approached the chariot, he heard this court official reading from Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant. Philip asked him, "Do you know what you are reading?" Admitting he did not, the court official invited Philip to join him in the chariot to explain. Now, the fact that he had a scroll of Isaiah, which was rare, says that he was wealthy and may have been a devout convert to Judaism. Despite his high social status and education, he was humble enough to admit he lacked understanding. Romans chapter 10 again says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" Now, Philip was definitely sent by divine intervention to share the good news with this man who apparently believed it and worshiped God, but had yet to be introduced to the good news of Jesus Christ. The scripture says that he was a eunuch. And according to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 1, eunuchs were not fully included in the covenant community and were not allowed to participate in temple rituals. But Isaiah 53 verses 3 through 5 says, "Do not let the foreigner joined to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' And do not let the eunuch say, 'I am just a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a better name than sons and daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off."
Amen.
Now, is that a good word?
Yes.
Amen. As an Ethiopian and a eunuch, he was one who was religiously and geographically far off. But with his conversion, both barriers are torn down. And as Psalm 68 says, Ethiopia will soon stretch out her hands to God. With this encounter, as well as Philip's ministry in Samaria, the good news of Jesus Christ has left a purely Jewish audience and begins to spread to the world. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and 14, "And this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." So what can we learn from Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch? If we are ready, willing, and waiting, God is more than willing to use us to share his good news with those who have yet to hear it. Amen. Are there people in our community that need to know Jesus Christ as Savior?
Amen. Sure.
We never know when God may set up an appointment, putting someone in our path who has yet to hear about him, or even someone who may have heard but is now at the point in their life where they are ready to receive. How many times did you have to hear the gospel before you accepted Jesus? It's not always the first time. Amen. As the scripture says, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. See, that's hope for you, Elder Lewis, for your kinfolk in New York. Amen. Keep planting those seeds. Amen? God will give the increase.
That's right.
But in order to be used by God, we have to want. You hear what I'm saying? We have to want to be used. We have to be open to the leading of the Spirit and conscious of God's presence with us, so that when the Spirit nudges us, we will be ready to follow the Spirit's leading, just like Philip did. Yes, we can bemoan the changes in culture, the lack of morals displayed in the world, and we can even shake our heads at the seemingly hypocrisy of some in the church. But when we are pointing our finger at someone, there are three pointing back at us. What are we doing to bring people to Jesus Christ? Does our everyday living testify to the one whom we have confessed our faith in? Are we growing in our understanding of the scriptures and our ability to share the simple message of the gospel with someone that God places in our path? You don't have to be a theologian to share your faith.
That's right.
You don't have to understand the deep things in God. You don't have to be able to parse Greek and Hebrew verbs. You just need to know who Jesus is and what he did in your life. And be able to share that with somebody else. Amen? Our passage today gives us four points to think about if we want to be ready, willing, and waiting to answer God's call. One, be where God wants us to be. This takes learning how God leads you. God speaks to all of us. Sometimes we're just not listening. Amen. If you don't spend enough time with the Lord, if you don't spend enough time in his word, if there's always noise around you, always got to have the television on, always got to have some music played, always got to be listening to CNN and all the craziness in the world, you're not going to hear God, I guarantee you. Too much noise. Amen? God speaks in that still small voice. You don't want him to yell, because when he yells, you're in trouble. Amen? When God has to yell at you, you better watch out. Because that means he's been trying to get to you and you're not listening. Amen? So we have to learn how God leads us and speaks to us so that we can be obedient to the Spirit's leading. Number two, we need to be a people watcher. God will help us to discern. Excuse me. God will help us to discern the right time to share and who will be ready to receive. But we have to be aware of those around us. You know, that's hard nowadays. Because we always got the phone in our hand. Amen? Got to take the phone everywhere, to the bathroom, everywhere.
That's right, Pat.
I'm guilty. Got to see what the news is. Got to see what somebody said. You know, that all that excess is sometimes not good. Because we got our hand in the phone and somebody over here needs to hear about Jesus.
That's right.
But we don't see him.
Preach.
You know, because we looking at the phone.
That's right.
Three, we must listen and be ready to adapt the message to where people are. Philip began by asking the finance minister where he was in his understanding. And that was the starting point for his sharing about Jesus. We have to meet people at their point of need. Jesus fed folk, healed folk, delivered folk, and then preached the good news. If somebody's hungry, they don't want to hear what you've got to say. They say, feed me. Amen. If somebody's cold and you got a coat and they don't, you think they want to hear you tell them about how Jesus loves them? No. If Jesus loves me, give me that coat you got on. Amen. I mean, we just got to be real. It's time to stop walking around in a fog. It's time to wake up. Amen. There are all kind of opportunities for us to show God's love and to share his word to people, but we have to recognize where they are.
That's right.
And start where they are. That's what Philip did. Four, and this is really important. We must have courage. Amen? People say, oh, I don't know what to say. They might reject me.
Come on.
Right? Religion, that's not something we talk about. What if they don't want to hear what I got to say? You got words of life. Amen? You don't got to worry about whether they want to hear it. If the Spirit tells you to say it, you say it. It's up to them as to whether they listen or not. Amen? The only one we're supposed to be afraid of is God. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. And always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for your hope. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now, I told you, I'm sure I told you a story sometime about my cousin Ray, who came to the Lord. He was a major hellion. Before he came to Christ, he'd cuss you out in a minute. And when he gave his heart to the Lord, he was still a hellion. He'd go over to his mama's house, who was next door to my mama's house. He'd tell them all they were going to hell. And he would fight, and nobody wanted to see him. You can't win people to Christ beating them up and telling them what bad sinners they are, and that you're going to bust hell wide open. They already know what they're doing.
Amen.
Amen. You can't say you love me and cut me at the same time. With gentleness and respect, we tell the reason for our hope. We personalize it. We tell people who Jesus is to us. And what he's done in our lives and how he delivered us, how he keeps us, how he walks with us day by day. Amen?
Amen.
That's how we're winsome. You don't win people being mean.
Amen.
That's not who Jesus is.
Amen.
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 The Lord wants everyone to hear the good news and respond in faith. And the scripture tells us that God is being patient because he does not want anyone to perish. But the day of the Lord is coming.
Yes.
Jesus will return.
Yes, he will.
And being that we don't know the day or the hour, and being that he's given us signs of the times, and again, if we would stay woke and we would read our scripture, we'll see many of those signs
mm-hmm.
before us,
mm-hmm.
right before our eyes.
Right now.
It tells us something. We got a job to do. Amen.
Amen.
It is our job as Christ's church to be ready, willing, and waiting to tell people the reason for our hope. If our hearts are right,
amen.
If we truly desire to, God will put people in our path. Amen? Everybody you witness to may not give their heart to Christ then, but all you're called to do is plant a seed.
Yeah.
Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father.
Yes. Amen.
Why am I going to be ashamed of someone who doesn't have a heaven or hell to put me in? Amen.
Amen.
He's the Lord of life.
That's right.
And people need to know him.
Amen.
God desires to use you and me. Will we be ready, willing, and waiting?
Mm.
Lord, I'm available to you. Amen. My will I give you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way. And enable me to say my story. cage is empty, and I am available to you. Is that our prayer? Do we have enough courage to say, Lord, I'm available to you. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way. Do we even care? If we don't, something's wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you are so wonderful. You are so amazing. You love us and you are so patient with us, God. You have given us everything we need to do what you have called us to do as your servants, as we wait for Christ's return. Purify our hearts, O God. Give us a desire to live for you and please you above all. And let your life and your love flow through us so that people will see you in us. Give us opportunities to share with people the reason for our hope. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.